Hare
Although there were many who took part in the production of the book, and still others who became customers, only Bhaktivedanta Swami deeply experienced the success and failures of the venture. It was his project, and he was responsible. No one was eager to see him writing proficiently, and no one demanded that it be printed. Even when the sales slowed to a trickle, the managers of OK Press were not distressed. They would give him the balance of his books only when he paid for them. And since it was also he who had the burden of hiring OK Press to print a second volume, the pressure was on him to go out and sell as many copies of the first volume as possible. For Hanuman Prasad Poddar, the volume had been something to admire in passing. For Hitcharan Sharma, it had been something he had tended to after his day's work for Mr. Dalmia. For the boy who lived in Chippewada, the book had meant a few errands. For the paper dealers, it had meant a small order. For Dr. Radhakrishnan, it had been but the slightest, soon forgotten matter in a life crammed with national politics and Hindu philosophizing. But Bhaktivedanta Swami, by his full engagement in producing the Bhagavatam, felt bliss and assurance that Krishna was pleased. He did not, however, intend for the Bhagavatam to be his private affair. It was the sorely needed medicine for the ills of Kali Yuga, and it was not possible for only one man to administer it. Yet he was alone, and he felt exclusive pleasure and satisfaction in serving his guru and Lord Krishna. Thus, his transcendental frustration and pleasure mingled. His will strengthened, and he continued alone. His spiritual master, the previous masters, and the Vedic scriptures all assured him that he was right. If a person got a copy of the Bhagavatam and read even one page, he might decide to take part in Lord Chaitanya's movement. If a person seriously read the book, he would be convinced about spiritual life. The more this book could be distributed, the more people could understand Krishna consciousness. And if they understood Krishna consciousness, they would become liberated from all problems. Book selling was real preaching. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had wanted it. Even at the neglect of constructing temples or making followers, who could preach as well as Srimad Bhagavatam? Certainly, whoever spent 16 rupees for a book would also take the time, at least, to look at it. In the months that followed, Bhaktivedanta Swami received more favorable reviews. The prestigious Adyar Library Bulletin gave a full review, noting, quote, the editor's vast and deep study of the subject, end quote. And concluding, quote, further volumes of this publication are eagerly awaited, end quote. His scholarly godbrothers also wrote their appreciations. Swami Ban Maharaj, rector of the Institute of Oriental Philosophy in Vrindavan, wrote, you know, across the street from the temple in Vrindavan, there's that huge campus inside, like that. So that's the Oriental, the Institute of Oriental Philosophy. So that was started by Ban Maharaj. I have nothing but to admire for your bold and practical venture. If you should be able to complete the whole work, you will render a very great service to the cause of Prabhupada Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the country also. Do it and rest assured there will be no scarcity of resources. Bhakti Sharanga Maharaj wrote a full review in his Sajjana Toshini. Bhakti Sharanga, from us, the first month down towards Hulagar, that's, I think, Bhakti, that's known as Goswami Mahārāja. We expect that this particular English version of Srimad Bhagavatam will be widely read and thereby spiritual poverty of people in general may be removed forever. At a time when we need it very greatly, Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami has given us the right thing. We recommend this publication for everyone's serious study. Sri Bishwanath Das, governor of Uttar Pradesh, commended the volume to all thoughtful people. An economic review praised the author for attempting a tremendous task from the review. At a time when not only the people of India, but those of the West need the chastening quality of love and truth in the corrupting atmosphere of hate and hypocrisy, a work like this will have uplifting and corrective influence. Dr. Zakir Hussain, Vice President of India, wrote, I have read your book, Srimad Bhagavatam, with great interest and much profit. I thank you again for the kind thought of which must have prompted you to present it to me. The favorable reviews, although Bhaktivedanta Swami could not pay the printer with them, indicated a serious response. The book was valuable, and subsequent volumes would earn the series even more respect. By Krishna's grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami had already completed many of the translations and purports for Volume 2. Even in the last weeks of printing the first volume, he had been writing day and night for the second volume. It was glorification of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and therefore it would require many, many volumes. He felt impelled to praise Krishna and describe him in more and more volumes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had said that the presses of the world could not print fast enough the glories of Krishna and the spiritual world that were being received at every moment by pure devotees. Bhaktivedanta Swami decided to return to Vrindavan for several months of intensive writing on Volume 2. This was his real business at Radha Damodar Temple. Vrindavan was the best place for writing transcendental literature. That had already been demonstrated by the Vaishnavacharyas of the past. Living in simple ease, taking little rest and food, he continually translated the verses and composed his Bhaktivedanta purports in Volume 2. After a few months, after amassing enough manuscript pages, he would return to Delhi and once again enter the world of publishing. In Volume 1, he had covered the first 6.5 chapters of the first canto. The second volume began on page 365, with the 8th verse of the 7th chapter. Bhaktivedanta Swami wrote in his purport that the Srimad Bhagavatam was meant for Paramahamsas, persons engaged purely in self-realization. Yet, he wrote, it works into the depth of the heart of those who may be worldly men. Worldly men are engaged in the matter of sense gratification, but even such men also will find in this Vedic literature a remedial measure for their material diseases. So the Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas. It's the literature for transcendentalists. because everything about it, the taste of it will be very nice to them. It's not dealing with anything that is not transcendental, the perspective. So, but it's so wonderful that even a person who's materially involved, materially inclined, he will also get great benefit from it. That's the beauty of it. Because on the material platform, only someone who has that material qualification will get benefit. But because every living entity is natural part and parcel of Krishna, his servant. So therefore that literature, the Bhagavatam, then is beneficial for everybody, whether you have seeming qualification or not. That's the nice thing about spiritual. It always works. Yes? What do you think? Yes. Yes. Okay. We have an affirmation here. Joy. Bhaktivedanta Swami returned to Delhi to raise funds for printing volume 2. When he visited a prospective donor, he would show the man volume 1 and the growing collection of reviews, explaining that he was asking for a donation not to support himself, but to print this important literature. Although for the first volume he had received no donations equal to the 4,000 rupees he had received from Mr. Podar, an executive of the L&H Sugar Factory gave a donation of 5,000 rupees for volume 2. Bhaktivedanta Swami had been dissatisfied with Hitcharan Sharma as a production supervisor. Although supposedly an expert in the trade, Hitcharan had caused delays, and sometimes he had advised Gautam Sharma without consulting Bhaktivedanta Swami. The work on volume 1 had slowed and even stopped when a job from a cash customer had come up, and Bhaktivedanta Swami had complained that it was Hitcharan's fault for not giving money to OK Press on time. For volume 2, Bhaktivedanta Swami decided to deal directly with OK Press and supervise the printing himself. He spoke to Gautam Sharma and offered a partial payment. Although the majority of the copies of volume 1 were still standing on their printing floor, Bhaktivedanta Swami wanted OK Press to begin volume 2. Gautam Sharma accepted the job. It was early in 1964 when volume 2 went to press, following the same steps as volume 1. But this time Bhaktivedanta Swami was more actively present, pushing. To avoid delays, he purchased the paper himself at Siddho Mall and Sons Paper Merchants in the heart of the paper district. He would choose and order his paper, then arrange to transport it to OK Press. The order was a large one. He would have it carried by a cart. Smaller orders he would send by rickshaw or on the head of a bearer. What's a bearer? Someone who does bearing. So does that mean like bearings on cars or stuff? He does that. Or bearings in the fan. So therefore he's a bearer because he does that. Or is it because actually the guy's a bear and so he does bear stuff, so he's a bearer? What do you think? Any idea?
Someone who holds something.
Like that. What were you going to say? Same thing. So that means when the boys are sitting down to take prasad and they pick up the prasad in their hand and they're holding it, that makes them a bearer? I see. So, do you see like a future in that or something? Something you could do the rest of your life or something. Could be. So you're not planning to eat for the rest of your life or something? You're going to start living off of air or something?
No, I'm definitely going to eat.
You're definitely going to eat. So that means you plan to be a bearer for your whole, the rest of your life. I see. Okay. Right? So the bearer means the guys that carry all this stuff on their head or something like that. They can put, I don't know, 60, 70 kilos on their head. Like that. What do you think? You don't know. Okay. This time, negative. Well, let's see. In his preface to the second volume, Bhaktivedanta Swami expressed the apparent oddity of working in Delhi while living in Vrindavan. Quote, the path of fruit of activities, in other words, to say the path of earn money and enjoy life, as it is going on generally, appears to have become also our profession, although we have renounced the order of worldly life. They see that we are moving in the cities, in the government offices, banks, and other business places for promoting the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam. They also see that we are moving in the press, paper market, and amongst the bookbinders, also away from our residence of Vrindavan. And thus they conclude, sometimes mistakenly, that we are also doing the same business in the dress of a mendicant. But actually, there is a gulf of difference between the two kinds of activities. This is not a business for maintaining an establishment of material enjoyment. On the contrary, it is a humble attempt to broadcast the glories of the Lord at a time when the people need it very badly. End quote. He went on to describe how in former days, even 50 years ago, well-to-do members of society had commissioned pandits to print or handwrite the Bhagavatam, and then distribute copies amongst the devotees and the general people. But times had changed. Quote, at the present moment, the time is so changed that we had to request one of the biggest industrialists of India to purchase 100 copies and distribute them, but the poor fellow expressed his inability. We wish that somebody may come forward to pay for the actual cost of publication of the Srimad Bhagavatam and let them be distributed free to all the leading gentlemen of the world. But nobody so far prepared to do this social uplifting. Nobody is so far prepared to do this socially uplifting work. End quote. After thanking the Ministry of Education and the Director of Education for distributing copies to institutions and libraries, Bhaktivedanta Swami again started his predicament before his reading public. Quote, the problem is that we must get some money for completing the work, which is admittedly a mighty project. The sales proceeds are being employed in the promotional work and not in sense gratification. Herein lies the difference from the fruit of activities. For all this, we have to approach everyone concerned just like a businessman. There is no harm to become a businessman if it is done on account of the Lord, as much as there is no harm to become a violent warrior like Arjuna or Hanumanji if such belligerent activities are executed to satisfy the desires of the Supreme Lord. So even though we are not in the Himalayas, even though we talk of business, even though we deal in rupees and paisa, still, simply because we are 100% servants of the Lord and are engaged in the service of broadcasting the message of His glories, certainly we shall transcend and get through the invincible impasse of Maya and reach the effulgent kingdom of God to render Him face-to-face eternal service in full bliss and knowledge. We are confident of His factual position, and we may also assure to our readers, to our numerous readers, that they will also achieve the same result simply by hearing the glories of the Lord. End quote. On receipt of the first copies of the second volume, another 400-page cloth-bound, brick-colored Srimad Bhagavatam with the same dust jacket as Volume 1, Bhaktivedanta Swami made the rounds of the institutions, scholars, politicians, and booksellers. What would a booksailer be?
One who sells on books?
Yes. You take a book and you put it down, then you put up a little flag and then you sail around on that. That would be a booksailer. So now, is he going around to the booksailers or to the booksellers?
Sellers.
Peter Sellers, like that kind of. So he looks up everybody in the Seller family and So what makes them part of the seller family? They deal in celery or something, so they're the...
They live in the basement.
They live in the basement. I see. Okay. Okay, so they have nothing to do with celery. Okay, so they sell from the basement, or they just live in the basement, and so... Okay. So then why would he be going to them if they don't sell books?
They also sell books.
They also sell books.
They live in the basement and sell books.
They live in the basement and sell books. You know? Do you know what a basement is in this case?
Yeah.
Do you know why he used the term basement? There's another term for that where you store stuff down in the basement. It's made so it always stays the same temperature. That's called a cellar. Like that. So he's saying that the sellers live in the cellar. That's why they're known as sellers. But they also sell things also. So does that mean, what do they use, a cell phone? Okay, yes?
It means they sell things.
Hmm?
It means that they sell stuff.
Then. They sell stuff, okay. So it doesn't mean that in the cellar, then they make up small little blocky rooms like little cells, and then they live in those things. No? Any opinions? Yes?
The real sellers are keeping themselves in the cellars.
The real sellers? Oh, because they're better sellers than them, so they keep them in the cellar, in cells. I see. So, okay, so there's political considerations here. Or let's say they're monopolizing the market, so it's economic. I see, and no one will read the books there.
Unless they're really good sellers and they can sell anything.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But everybody in the cellar probably already has a book. Since the cellar is full of books. Yes? What do you think of this? Does this all make sense? Huh? Well, that's it. Prabhupada's trying to do, he's trying to make sense, right? So that's why he's going out to the sellers, so they'll sell the book so you get the sense for selling the book, right? So it does make sense. You understand? No. Why don't you understand? We're making lots of sense here. Yeah? Okay. One Delhi bookseller, Dr. Manohar Lal Jain, had particular success in selling the volumes. So therefore he is one of the prominent sellers, right? Manohar Lal Jain. He would come to me for selling his books. He would come often, and he used to chat with me for 1 or 2 hours. He had no other business except selling his books as much as possible. He would discuss the difficulties he was having, and also many other things, yoga, Vedanta, and religious aspects of life. His problem was distributing his work, because it was a big publication. He had planned to publish it in many volumes. Naturally, I told him it was not possible for any individual bookseller or publisher here to publish it and invest money in it. So that was a little bit of a disappointment for him, because he could not bring out more volumes. But my sales were good because this was the best translation, Sanskrit text with English translations. No other such edition was available. I sold 150 to 200 copies in about two or three years. The price was very little, only 16 rupees. He had published his reviews, and he had a good sell, a good market. The price was reasonable, and he was not interested in making money out of it. He was printing in English for the foreigners. He had a good command of Sanskrit as well as English. When we met, he would speak in English, and his English was very impressive. He wanted me to publish, but he didn't have any presses, and no finances. I told him frankly I would not be able to publish it, because it was not one or two volumes, but many. But he managed anyhow. I referred him to Atmarama and Sons. He also used to go there. He was a great master, a philosopher, a great scholar. I used to enjoy the talks. He used to sit with me for 1 or 2 hours, as much as he could afford. Sometimes he would come in the morning, 11 or 12, and then sometimes in the afternoon. He used to come in for money. Quote, "How many copies are sold?" End quote. So I would pay him. Practically, he was not doing very well with finances at that time. He only wanted that his books should be sold to every library, and everywhere the people are interested in it. We used to publish a catalog every month, and I would advertise his book. Orders would be coming from all over the world. So at least for me, the sales were picking up. If I sold 100 copies of the first volume, then I figured the second volume would be sold in the same number, naturally. But definitely those who would take the first volume would also take volume 2, because it was institutional, and the institutions will always try to complete their set. He used to discuss with me how the volumes can be brought out and how many it would take to complete the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very much interested in bringing out the whole series. So, because this is meant for distribution amongst the mass in general, so does this make this a world series? Yes? No? Not sure. I see. In January of 1964, Bhaktivedanta Swami, weren't we already in 64? It was early 64. Okay, so. Was granted an interview with Indian Vice President Zakir Hussain, who, although a Muslim, had written an appreciation of Bhaktivedanta Swami's Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Dr. Hussain is not to be mixed up with Zakir Hussain, the guy who plays tablas, right? Like that. You can tell this one's a doctor, the other one's not a doctor. So the doctor guy is the president, and the not doctor guy is the tabla player. Right? Got it? Yes? Sudam. Sudam. Sudam Singh. You're Hussein? Something we don't know about, you're telling us? I mean, I do know part of Spain is, you know, was, how you say, the established by the Muslims from North Africa and all that. So is there something you want to tell us here or something? Or we don't bother with our purva samskars, our previous life. And what we were. Oh, you said Saddam, not Sudam. Okay, got it. Yeah, he's also different. As Dr. Hussein cordially received the author at the presidential palace. Now, the other Hussein was a president also. So there is a connection there. So they're both presidents, right? The Saddam Hussein and the Zakir Hussein. They were both presidents, but slightly different times, different places. Like that. And they're both different from the tabla player and from Sudama. Like that. Unless there's something Sudama's not telling us. Here, he either plays tablas or he's the president of some country, but he's just undercover here, just, you know, taking care of the go-down, doing something simple like that. Yes?
He's running away from Americans.
Oh, okay.
Find the perfect hideout.
I see, okay. Maybe, like that. Bhaktivedanta Swami spoke of the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam in the cause of love of Godhead. But Dr. Hussein wanted to know how love of Godhead could help humanity. The question put by ruler to Sadhu was filled with philosophical implications, but the vice president's busy schedule of meetings did not permit Bhaktivedanta Swami to answer fully. For the vice president, the interview was a gesture of appreciation, recognizing the Swami for his work on behalf of India's Hindu cultural heritage. And Bhaktivedanta Swami humbly accepted the ritual. Later, however, he wrote Dr. Hussain a long letter, answering the question he had not had time to answer during their brief meeting. Quote, Muslims, also admit, he wrote, that there is nothing greater than Allah. The Christians also admit that God is great. The human society must learn to obey the laws of God. He reminded Dr. Hussain of India's great cultural asset, the Vedic literature. The Indian government could perform the best welfare work for humanity by disseminating Vedic knowledge in a systematic way. Srimad Bhagavatam was, quote, produced in India, end quote. It was the substantial contribution India could offer the world. Like that. So I guess one would see that the transcendental sub-literature, that's something, you know, more serious that India can offer to the world for the world's benefit, as opposed to, let's say, motel owners or something like that. You know. I mean, of course, people have to stay someplace, but it's only a temporary solution, while the Srimad Bhagavatam gives a permanent solution to the problem of where to stay. Right? In March of 1964, Krishna Pandit, Bhaktivedanta Swami's sponsor at the Radha Krishna Temple in Chippewada, arranged for him to reside for a few months at the Sri Radha Vallabhji Temple at the nearby Rozanpura Naisarak neighborhood. There he could continue his writings and publishing, but he would also be giving a series of lectures. Krishna Pandit provided Bhaktivedanta Swami about 1,500 rupees for his maintenance. On Bhaktivedanta Swami's arrival at Sri Radha Vallabhji Temple, the manager distributed notices inviting people to take full advantage of the presence of a Vaishnav sadhu, end quote, as resident acharya. Bhaktivedanta Swami held morning and evening discourses at the temple without reducing the activities of writing and printing. In June, Bhaktivedanta Swami got the opportunity to meet Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri. The meeting had been arranged by Dolatram Khanna, a wealthy jeweler who was a trustee of the Chippewada Temple and had often met with Bhaktivedanta Swami there. An old friend of Prime Minister Shastri since his youth, when they had attended the same yoga club, Mr. Khanna arranged the meeting as a favor to Bhaktivedanta Swami. Let the Prime Minister meet a genuine sadhu, Mr. Khanna thought. It was a formal occasion in the gardens of the Parliament building, and the Prime Minister was meeting a number of guests. Prime Minister Shastri, dressed in white kurta and dhoti and a Nehru hat, and surrounded by aides, received the elderly sadhu. Bhaktivedanta Swami, looking scholarly in his spectacles, stepped forward and introduced himself and his book, Srimad Bhagavatam. As he handed the Prime Minister a copy of Volume 1, a photographer snapped a photo of the author and the Prime Minister smiling over the book. The next day, Bhaktivedanta Swami wrote to Prime Minister Shastri. He soon received a reply, personally signed by the Prime Minister. From the letter. Dear Swamiji, many thanks for your letter. I am indeed grateful to you for presenting a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam to me. I do realize that you are doing valuable work. It would be a good idea if the libraries and the government institutions purchase copies of this book. Bhaktivedanta Swami wrote back to the Prime Minister, requesting him to buy books for Indian institutions. Mr. R.K. Sharma of the Ministry of Education subsequently wrote back, confirming that they would take 50 copies of Volume 2, just as they had taken Volume 1. To concentrate on completing Volume 3, Bhaktivedanta Swami returned to the Radha-Damodar temple. These were the last chapters of the first canto, dealing with the advent of the present age of Kali. There were many verses foretelling society's degradation and narrating how the great king Parikshit had staved off Kali's influence by his strong Krishna-conscious rule. Yes?
Wasn't Nehru prime minister?
Yeah, but that was 47. This is now 64. You know, so sometime later. So I think every 4 or 5 years it changed, or something like that. You know, 4 or 5?
5 years.
5 years, every 5 years. Yes.
What does Aves mean?
Aves. Oh, here, no, it was staves. You stave off, means you kept it from coming. You know, properly blocked it. Like that. But I know of staves are also, they say pegs. You pound in the ground to, you know, hold up a tent or something like that. So I guess when you stave off something, maybe you pin it down with little, you know, pegs or something so it can't go anywhere or something like that. Does that make sense? So if you stave off, then it means he staved off Kali's influence, right? It means that Kali's influence wasn't able to have effect, right? But he did it by his Krishna conscious rule, not by something else. Management's management. All kings are doing that. So they know the science how to manage. But if you don't know God consciousness, then it doesn't actually stave off Kali's influence, right? Then things all still will become degraded. Yes? What are you writing here in your book?
Notes.
Notes. What kind of notes?
Different
notes. Let's see. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Is that what you... She sells seashells down by the seashore. It's always important to catch these jewels of wisdom. No, it's all things from here. All about how the six Goswamis would, you know, all sit at Radha Damodar and write the books and everything like that. So all nice things are there. Like that. Not that he doesn't like Peter Piper, but it's he didn't figure he needed to be in the book. In his purports, Bhaktivedanta Swami wrote the government could not check corruption unless it rooted out the four basic principles of your religion: meat-eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. These are mentioned in Manu, that your society is only going to go well if these things are not there. Like that. So it's just a standard thing in society. Quote, you cannot check all these evils of society simply by statutory acts of police vigilance. But you have to cure the disease of mind by the proper medicine, namely advocating the principles of Brahminical culture, or the principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. We must always remember that false pride, undue attachment for women, or association with them, an intoxicating habit of all description will cripple. description will cripple the human civilization from the path of factual peace. However, the people may go on clamoring for such peace of the world. Right? The four regulative principles are established, then the world can actually be peaceful. But, like Prabhupada mentioned, like because they have these big slaughterhouses organized because they're killing so many animals, then the reaction, one of the reactions to that is then the youth of the country, then they become involved and killed in war. Right? So it's the same kind of thing. So these wars and stuff go on because of the improper behavior. So just by following the four regulative principles, then they can establish peace. But if they don't, they'll never be able to. They can create different institutions. They can jump up and down. They can, you know, always talk about world peace, but it won't happen. Does that make sense? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you.